Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and once again, we want to face the issues. May I remind us, this is a listener participation program. If you're listening, you have a question or comment, you have something you want to add to the dialogue, we welcome your call. You can call us at 401-1413. That's 904-401-1413 to join in the discussion any day at any of our broadcasts. May I remind us, when we talk about issues, we're talking about issues with answers based on the authority of the Word of God. We are looking for truthful answers, wisdom from God. Therefore, the only place to turn to is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, and it's called the Bible. Thy word is truth, Jesus said in John 17:17. And again, Jesus had already said in John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So it is my prayer today that as you listen, you will understand that in our lives, I don't say in my life or in your life, but in our lives, all of us, we are not to live a life with the bifurcation of what we do and what we say. When you look at it from the biblical worldview, which is God's view, everything is in the eternal presence. Therefore, we do not have a social life, a political life, a spiritual life, a religious life, or any other life that you'd want to call it. It is all one life, and we have the responsibility of living that for God's honor and for His glory. Therefore, when we look for answers, we look for answers in the Scripture. There's no such thing as simply having a bifurcated life and living different lives in different days. A lot of pastors, if you're listening to me and you're a pastor, if you're serving God in ministry, let me urge you, let me encourage you today with the task that God's called you to do. It's not a simple task. It's not an easy task, but it is a task that can be carried out with the help of the Holy Spirit of God working in and through your life. And may I suggest to you, dear pastor friend, the best way to serve God is to take a stand unequivocally, unafraid, on the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? It's not a matter of denominationalism. It's not a matter of what Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, Lutheran, Roman Catholicism, or any other denomination may say. It is what does the Word of God say. That's the only place that has power and authority. And that's the source that we want to look at when we talk about issues. Perhaps you've already heard the news. It's difficult not to have heard it unless you just sequester yourself. Do not listen to any broadcast on radio or television or read the newspaper. But it seems that Hillary has, that we're talking about the only Hillary, Hillary Clinton, it seems that she's skated by once again. You know, there's a term that's out in the marketplace called Teflon Don. Well, I think it's Teflon Hillary. The FBI director, I believe, is a puppet. You heard me right. He's a puppet for the Obama administration. The FBI director, Director Comey, stated the illegal activities and what Hillary Clinton had done very succinctly. He recapped the investigation and what their findings were through the FBI very clearly. And then the frightful thing took place that I would have never dreamed could happen in America. He flatly refused to proceed any further with any federal charges. He copped out with the excuse that no good prosecutor would prosecute the case. Well, all of the stage was set several days ago when William Jefferson Clinton, former President Clinton, met with the Attorney General. And when the Attorney General met with him on her plane, she claims it was a happenstance meeting, that they talked about grandkids and golfing, et cetera, et cetera. Well, my most humble opinion, the die was cast and the stage was set, and the completion took place at that point. Because then she, after being caught, well, the news media reported it, and she was caught in the middle, she then makes the decision, I'm not going to sequester myself from the position of prosecutorial responsibility, but I'm going to let my prosecutors, those under me, make the decision, and I'll just simply go with what they say. Well, needless to say, Loretta Lynch has, in essence, circumvented her responsibility, laid the responsibility on the table. Perhaps, just perhaps, I don't know. Perhaps she has been promised a position. I know Hillary's already told her that she could continue on as Attorney General. Perhaps, just perhaps, FBI Director Comey has been promised the same thing. And so, therefore, it's not a matter of what's best for the people. It's not what is best for the United States of America. It's not what is best constitutionally or based on the rule of law. It's based on the political cronyism directed by Barack Hussein Obama out of the White House. And by the way, we're living in the last days. The scripture talks about it, in fact, in 2 Timothy 3:1 through 5. This know also that in the last days, perilous, difficult, dangerous, dark days, deadly times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those who are good. You hear that? Despisers of those who are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. The scripture has a little footnote to that verse. From such turn away. From such turn away. It's the warning from the scripture. May I remind us, we are in dark days, difficult times. We're seeing it on every hand. Now, this broadcast is not meant to be a negative broadcast. It is meant to bring to light the truth of God's Word in view of what we're seeing in our nation. Perhaps you've wondered, well, what is happening? Have you ever wondered, dear listener, have you wondered what's taking place? Why is it that so many things seem to be so rampantly running out of kilter in our nation? Where we see good called evil, evil called good, the things that should not be are boasted as being honorable. We have the open bathroom edict out of Washington, destroying the hearts and the minds and the lives of our kids in schools here in Duval County. Dr. Vitti immediately accepted and put into play the open bathroom edict from Washington. Dr. Vitti, if you're listening to me, if someone can get a message to Dr. Vitti, please do so. Dr. Vitti, I challenge you to face me on radio or television with a public debate on the merits of what you're doing in the Duval County schools. It is the most unholy, wicked, evil, ungodly, demonic thing that could take place with our kids and grandkids that are placed in your charge and keeping in the Duval County school system. Well, it goes beyond Dr. Vitti. It is a worthless school board. And if you know school board members, tell them I said that. A worthless school board that will not take a stand that honors God and protect our kids by telling Dr. Vitti we're not going to do that. If you want to join in this discussion, we welcome your inquiry, your question, your comment. If you go with what some use the term, putting in your 2 cents worth, that's wonderful. 401-1413. By the way, may I make a little brief announcement inserted here. First Conservative Baptist Church is looking for summer missionaries, summer interns. Perhaps you feel that God's called you for some type of ministry. Perhaps you have felt that you needed to be in Bible college or seminary. Perhaps you are older teen or younger 20s or 30s or 40s, and you want to do something that serves and honors God in the time that we have left in this old world today. We're looking for those as summer interns, 6, 8, 9, 10, that would be ideal. We're going to provide a financial stipend to offset cost, and then 100% Bible college scholarship for you to get the theological, biblical education God would have you to get. May I remind you, you can call us at the 1-800-GO-BIBLE number, 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Let us know how to contact you back, and we'll schedule an interview time for you to come in, and let's talk about what God would have you to do. The other thing that I need to remind us before we go further in the broadcast is the Church Security Seminar. Church Security Seminar. When I say that, many ears will perk up. So what do you mean, church security? Why do we need church security? Churches are generally unarmed. Churches are generally filled with trusting people, with the philosophy that if you come to church, if you walk down and sit down in the pew someplace, that you're here because you love Jesus. We're trusting people. Churches are generally not prepared for a shooter or an armed gunman or a group of armed gunmen. Churches are soft targets for terrorists, and mentally challenged, and those persons that are seeking revenge against the preacher, the pastor, because of what he said or done. May I remind you, this church seminar on security, church security, is Friday night the 22nd, that's 6:30 until 9:30, and then all day Saturday, 9 till 5 o'clock. There's a small cost, registration fee of $99. It's $129 if you wait until the day of the seminar. You're provided with the 10 hours of lecture, the certificate of completion, the textbook and the syllabi, and light finger food and refreshments on Saturday. We invite you to call us, 1-800-GO-BIBLE, and see if you can get your church security team, pastors, associate pastors, or others enrolled, Sunday school teachers, greeters, staff members, church parking team, deacons and ushers, associate pastors, all need to be involved and enrolled for this eye-opening seminar on church security. Josh, I believe you're on the line. You're calling with a question about the school board. Go ahead, please.
Okay, it wasn't really a question about the school board. I'm sorry if I gave the receptionist the wrong call. But you mentioned that you thought we were living in the end times. Did I hear that right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I believe that too. I've been telling my wife for years that it just seems like something's coming. Almost like how you look in the sky and you can see the storm clouds rolling in. It just feels like something's coming and it's on its way, and I can't put my finger on it, but I really believe, my wife and I are both Christians, but I really believe that's what it is, that we are living in the end times.
We are. In fact, throughout the scriptures, we find the validation of what you and I are talking about in the last days. In fact, the last days, the last times, some refer to it as the day of the Lord. It is, the day of the Lord is from the rapture of the church to the return of Christ. It is the time after the church is lifted out that the great, tremendous devastation will take place under the leadership of the Antichrist on a global basis. But we're leading up to that time. Let me just insert this. On May 15, 1948, Israel became a nation. And Israel is God's sweep hand, God's timepiece on what's happening in the world. The more we wake up of a morning, and each day that passes, we'll see a greater and greater emphasis on that little postage stamp of real estate called Israel. It's because Israel is God's timepiece of the prophetic future. The rapture of the church is something that could happen at any moment. There are no other signs that need to take place for the rapture of the church. But there are multitudes of signs yet to be fulfilled before the second coming of Christ. But in between the rapture of the church and the second coming of Christ, you have 7 years interlude there that's called the tribulation. And there are multitudes of scriptures that deal with the rapture of the church and the tribulation and those last days in which we're living. The scripture says there are dark days, difficult times. The Timothy text says it's perilous times. So what we're seeing is the escalation of the difficulties and the pressures. Scripture calls it the tribulations that we'll go through. We'll not go through the tribulation, but we'll go through tribulation. It's the word thalipsis in the Greek text, which simply means pressures and problems and difficulties and darkness. We're going to see more and more of the Christian and the church being persecuted and the church being shut out of the marketplace of ideas as we go into these further into these last days. But what can we do? What should we do? That's one of the things I'm going to talk about in a moment in the broadcast. As believers, we're commanded. It's not an option. We're commanded to be salt and light. Salt must get out of the shaker. Light must get out of the room. We must face the difficult days with the understanding and the realization that God, through the Holy Spirit, will empower us to stand and face wicked, evil times that we're living in. And that means we need to take a stand. We need to call people like Dr. Vitti. We need to call people like the school board. We need to call folks on our city council and say, shame, shame, shame on taking bribe dollars. That's my opinion, bribe dollars, for putting the lotto on the ballot for the citizens to vote on in November. They need to recall that vote, by the way. It was 18 to 1. If enough people put enough pressure on City Hall and the mayor's office, mayor's office is culpable with that. It's because of Howard Corman and being the kingpin of the gambling industry in our city that's allowed this to go as far as it has, because he's bought votes in the mayor's office and in city council. And there are a lot of folks that think that, well, we're supposed to sit back as Christians and face these things without saying or doing anything. Well, the scripture is very, very clear. We're to be salt and light. And so the answer to your question and to my question and multitudes of questions in the hearts and the lives of many, many, many believers today is that the scripture is clear. We need to be salt and light. Secondly, Luke 21:28 says, when we see all of these things taking place, look up, lift up your head, for our redemption draweth nigh. And so every day that it gets dark, as Dr. Adrian Rogers said many years ago, it's dark, but it's gloriously dark. Because every day gets us closer to Jesus.
Keep on preaching.
Thank you.
Have a great
God bless
day.
You
Thank
for
you.
Your call. Thank you so much. Right, thank you so much. For others that want to call, your number is 401-1413, 401-1413. Thank you for that call. It is a very poignantly timely call in relationship to where we are. And in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of these last days that we were just talking about, in the midst of that, we have folks like Rick Warren, Saddleback Community Church in California, that's teaching his church, his members, that Christianity and Islam are sister religions. He has coined the term Chrislam. He's blending Islam and Christianity. The question begs to be asked, is Islam a sister religion? Is Islam palatable? Is Islam biblical? Well, let me just give you a little litany of thoughts, things to think about in relationship to that question. You need to call Rick Warren and or send him an email or a letter saying, shame on you for promulgating a lie from your pulpit, instituting wickedness further in our world. From the Quran, I have studied the Quran. I lecture on the Quran. I lecture on world religions and focus primarily on Islam. Islam denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Islam denies that Jesus Christ is God. Islam denies the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Islam denies the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Islam says that Jesus was not crucified, but an imposter, a lookalike, was put on the cross to give stature and credibility to the Christian movement. Islam teaches that Jesus is just another prophet, very much like Muhammad, as they call it. Islam teaches that Jesus Christ will return, but when he returns, he will return for one purpose, and that is to bring all the world to submission to Islam. So now, does that sound like the same Jesus that you serve? Does that sound like the same Jesus that Christianity honors? Does that sound like the same Jesus that is the central focus of Christianity on a global basis today? I beg you, no, 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 it is not. May I remind us, we are in a day and time of the last days when these things, right's wrong and wrong is right. Muslim refugees threaten, don't know if you read the article, Muslim refugees threaten Minnesota community with rape. Let me read an excerpt from this elongated article. A mob of up to 30 young Somali men paraded through a Minnesota more upscale neighborhood last week, yelling disparaging comments and threats against homeowners. A female resident of the neighborhood, obviously shaken in her TV interview, relates how she was scared and screamed at by the Somali men who threatened to kidnap her and rape her. Quote, "They were screaming at the house. They were going to kidnap you, and they were going to rape you," end quote. No hate crime charges have apparently been considered in that case, by the way. Had that been the reverse, had that been a group of Christians marching through a neighborhood talking about rape and murder and or in some way harming people, immediately that would be the headline news. But as Rush Limbaugh calls it, we have a drive-by media today that's through the media and the political correctism. We're not going to call Islam dangerous at all, though it is the most wicked, dangerous thing that could ever take place in a world that once we knew as a free world called America. The Iowa Civil Rights Commission is being sued for claiming that it has the right to control the content of church services and the speech of pastors. We'll get into that more later this week. We're going to talk about, on Friday, separation of church and state. Do you believe that our Constitution has a wall of separation of church and state in it? I want you to ponder that. Think about that. Call me on Friday, 401-1413, and I want you to read it to me on the air from your Constitution. I want you to read to me the wall of separation of church and state. I want you to read to me where the Scripture says that there's a wall and therefore the church cannot get involved in the political arena. And that wall that is there is to be an impenetrable wall that walls the church off, that cannot have anything to say or do with the church. In the state of North Carolina, an illegal one came in by way of a refugee. His name is Menendez, 23 years old. They've just discovered that he has a young woman in his home that he bought while he was still in Pakistan. He came to America, brought Guatemala, that is, not Pakistan, came from Guatemala, brought her with him, and that's discovered that she is his sex slave. He bought her from her family. He owns her. She is his maid. She is his sex slave, and it's just been discovered that there's a suit that charges the mandates violate the U.S. Constitution protection of free speech and religious liberties when it comes to what the church is to do and say. When it comes to the immigrants coming in, the churches are expected to be silent. The churches are expected to say nothing and do nothing. Well, I'm here to tell you that's not what my Bible says. In fact, Francis Schaeffer, a number of years ago, had the privilege of seeing his video, his movie, when it was first put out, How Should We Then Live? Had the opportunity to study a lot of his work, How Should We Then Live? So based on what's happening in the world, based on what is taking place, it is very, very pertinent to ask the question, ladies and gentlemen, how should we then live? What are we to do? As I'd said earlier in my response to one of the callers, we need to recognize that we're charged to be salt and light. Jesus Christ himself said, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." The directive of salt is recorded in the Scripture. Jesus said, "Ye are." He didn't say maybe or possibility. Ye are. And by the way, it's in the imperative voice. It's a directive that we are to be salt in the world in which we live. What are some of the dynamics of salt? It preserves. It is a preservative. We as believers are salt in the society in which we live. This is the reason, by the way, when the church is raptured out, there will no longer be salt in the world to prevent the decay that is taking place today, but will escalate when the church is raptured out of this old world. We're to be salt because it preserves. We're to be salt also because it has a useful purpose. The salt provides a retardant to decay. It preserves and it prevents the decay. If we as Christians remain in the house, if we remain in the church buildings, if we remain silent, someone said many years ago, all it takes for evil, wicked to prevail is for good men to do nothing. And may I say that good men and women, if we're going to be obedient to the Word of God, we're salt and light. And salt is directive in the Scripture. it has a dynamic, and that is that it preserves and it provides for the need. In fact, I grew up on the farm. You could drive through the farm, you could drive through the countryside, and you could see cattle out on a hill, and they would have eaten all morning, and they are licking the salt. The salt causes them to be thirsty. They drink more water, and when they drink more water, they produce more milk. Salt is a providing. It is a preservative, and it also provides the need. It flavors, it seasons, it preserves, it makes one thirsty. So Christians, listen to me carefully. Get out of your chair. Be salt and light. Start being a part of the solution and the resolution, not just with the political scene, but in our spiritual responsibility. We need to make sure that we're in churches where the Word of God is proclaimed, in churches where there's no ifs and ands and buts about the society in which we live, in churches where pastors have a backbone that's willing to stand and confront sin and call sin, sin, and not afraid to talk about the political arena, not afraid to talk about the politics in our city and nationally, not afraid to talk about the need to get out and vote and let our voices be heard at the ballot box. But listen, this scripture also questions the dissipation of salt, the dissipation. We notice the possibility. The possibility, as the scripture says, but if the salt have lost its savor, the salt has lost its savor. Wherewith shall it be salted? What happens when salt is without flavor? What happens when salt has no usefulness? The scripture says it will be trodden underfoot, cast out and trodden underfoot. Ladies and gentlemen, I am frightened to death at what I'm seeing today in what is called the Christian world. We have multitudes today that say they're saved, but there's no inculcation of the Word of God in their lives. There's no willingness to take a stand and face and confront sin and call sin, sin. There's an unwillingness to do anything other than say, I'm just going to love everybody. Well, God loves us, and as a result of God's love, the Scripture says in Hebrews that He spanks us, chastens us betimes, that's many times, because He loves us. Love means that we're going to confront evil. Love means that we love someone enough that we're going to say that they're wrong and they need to straighten their lives out. We need to be salt. The possibility is, though, that the salt could have lost its savor and have no value whatsoever. The disposal of salt is seen in it. It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden underfoot. That is, it becomes powerless. It becomes trodden underfoot, worthless, good for nothing. And I don't know about you, but I look forward to the Lord Jesus Christ saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou in thy reward. That is the greatest thing that any child of God could look forward to hearing. The Apostle Paul looked forward to that. We have multitudes today that are serving the Lordship of Jesus Christ with the idea that I don't want any accolades from man. I simply want the approval and the praise of the Lord Jesus Christ. May I remind us, we are living in the last days. And as Francis Schaeffer said, how should we then live? We should live as salt and light. We should get out of the shaker, get out of the house, and go out in the marketplace and be part of the resolution and the solution for the world's problems. I'm thankful that you tuned in today. I pray that you'll tune in tomorrow at the same time as once again we face the issues. Thank you, and God bless you, and see you, meet you on the air tomorrow at the same time.
Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.